AM 950 Radio. It is the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. And unfortunately, we are expecting a lot of locker room talk tonight, as we do have President Donald Trump probably on his way to Minneapolis as we speak, heading over to Target Center to speak to his faithful followers. And yeah, overall, it's just going to be an ugly situation down there at Target Center. Already some Republicans in the Senate leadership have expressed a lot of concern about this rally, including Mitch McConnell, definitely encouraging Trump not to go with these send her back chants against Ilhan Omar just because of the optics of how that will look. But knowing the supporters we're probably going to have at tonight's Trump rally, probably going to be hard for them to resist. Coming up from the show, I want to hear from you. If you are down in Minneapolis right now at a protest of President Trump, I'd love to hear from you and your experience, what you hope to accomplish, and overall what your thoughts are on the atmosphere. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, as we will be taking your calls during the entire hour. But first, I want to welcome in a Minneapolis City Council member. His name is Steve Fletcher. He is in Ward 3, which actually happens to be the exact ward where tonight's rally is going to take place. And Council Member Fletcher is actually at, I believe, one of the protests that are taking place tonight in Minneapolis. So, Council Member Steve Fletcher, thanks so much for joining us on the program today.
My pleasure.
Absolutely. So, of course, you represent Ward 3, which includes, well, downtown Minneapolis, where Trump is going to be speaking tonight. What are your initial thoughts of Trump coming to the very area that you represent in the Minneapolis City Council?
I think President Trump is causing this country a lot of pain. He's putting us through an impeachment inquiry over crimes that he's admitted to in public on national television. And I think that he should resign.
So, of course, you, like we were saying, represent the district, or the, excuse me, the ward that he is visiting right now. And as I understand it, you are going to be participating in some of the protests that are taking place in downtown Minneapolis, correct?
Yep. I've joined up with labor unions. It's a wide group of labor unions showing a lot of solidarity, marching together, expressing Minneapolis values.
So what's been the atmosphere so far as you've attended the protest? What have you been kind of picking up as the vibe around there?
I think people take a lot of comfort in being with each other and seeing this community that cares about each other and that's committed to a positive and strong Minneapolis, despite the terrible things that we think the president is likely to say about us.
Yeah, we're probably going to see some really ugly messages there tonight, and definitely glad that you're out there protesting his visit. What's the overall message you'd like people to take away from the protests that you're participating in tonight?
That Minneapolis is a beautiful, vibrant place with strong values of love and support for each other, and the president is out of step with those values.
So, again, we're speaking with Steve Fletcher. He represents Ward 3 in the Minneapolis City Council. What has the city been doing? I know you're not necessarily a part of this process per se directly. That's more in terms of the mayor's office. But have you been happy so far with how the city has been addressing some of the safety concerns in terms of having a presidential visit take place in downtown Minneapolis? What measures have we taken?
So I'm always proud of our city staff's ability to handle big events. We're seeing Public Works putting in a lot of overtime. Obviously, we're seeing MPD thinking through how to keep people safe. And our goal is that nobody gets hurt. Our goal is that everybody who comes to Minneapolis, downtown Minneapolis is for everyone. And we mean everyone. Mm-hmm. And we want everybody to be able to have a safe experience here.
Of course, you're out protesting Trump's visit to Minneapolis today. So what would you say to someone who would say to you, well, you probably would have welcomed Barack Obama if he had a rally in Minneapolis in earlier years. Why are you not happy about Trump visiting? What would you say to someone who made that argument?
Barack Obama didn't cast aspersions against our city to try to rile up supporters in other places to pit people against each other for votes. And I think watching our president do that has been painful. We are all Americans, and in fact, we're a great cross-section of America in this city. And to see ourselves disparaged this way is very frustrating.
So what kind of turnout have you seen so far down there in terms of the number of protesters? Are we expecting that number to swell as the evening goes on?
You know, there's so many different groups that it's hard to know, but there is a lot of energy, and, you know, downtown certainly feels like it is oriented towards this event.
Absolutely. And downtown had to have been kind of a weird place to be kind of all day. I heard from some people that it seems like a lot of folks were actually staying home, working from home, or businesses were actually closing. So I imagine this morning it was almost kind of eerie down there with the lack of traffic for a weekday morning.
Well, and we really shouldn't underestimate the disruption. You know, this was really disruptive to the people I represent who live and work and play in downtown Minneapolis and who call this home. And to come here and use it as a political stage without any consideration for what it was going to do to the people here is terrible behavior.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been speaking with a council member, Steve Fletcher, of the Minneapolis City Council, representing Ward 3. He is down at one of the protests taking place right now against President Trump, who will be visiting in just a few hours. Hey, council member Steve Fletcher, thanks so much for joining us on the program today. I'll let you get back to it and keep doing the good work down there.
My pleasure. Thanks for covering this.
Absolutely. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. If you are down there right now, would love to hear from you. Although I suppose if you're actually down there in person right now, you're probably listening to us on an app, maybe through your phone, or if you're planning on going to Minneapolis a little bit later, I want to hear from you and kind of figure out why are you going down there? What's motivating you to go down there and protest the president's visit? Or maybe you're someone who's not so happy about the protests. Definitely open to hearing from you as well. Now, Eric, I just kind of eavesdropped during the last show, and I heard you were actually down there last night, and you actually saw some protests that were taking place, it sounded like.
Well, I was taking part in a picket protest, yeah, which was larger than the protest against Jacob Frey,
yeah.
Except it didn't get front page reporting on it.
This has just been so typical of what happens in the media, not just in our area, but around the entire country. An example I could think about from what I think this is almost, gosh, time flies, a decade ago when Scott Walker first got in office. There were these huge protests that were taking place just across the border down in Hudson. Not really much media coverage, but 10 people showed up at an office in favor of Scott Walker, and that got front page media coverage. I specifically remember that from probably about 8-9 years ago when Walker first took office in Wisconsin, and of course being that Hudson is part of the Minneapolis metropolitan area in terms of media markets, yeah, that's the one that actually got all the news, and it sounds like a very similar situation. And you could just eyeball that, Eric. It was way more than 30 people, correct?
For this one last night?
Yeah.
It was probably around 30.
30? But yeah, still, an equal number compared to...
It didn't get any reporting as
nothing
opposed
at
to
all.
Front page story.
Yeah, not even a mention, not even a little blurb at the end of the article in the Star Tribune that said, oh, and also there was a protest as well against the president. No, it was front page stories about how 30 people are protesting Mayor Jacob Frey's office for his stance against Donald Trump and the fact that he's, well, actually making him pay his bills. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, if you have any thoughts on the rally and the protest taking place in Minneapolis. Coming up a little bit later on in the show, I'm going to break down some further numbers in terms of this controversy over who's actually going to pay for the security costs. Did some research on this with the history and when campaigns are actually required to pay, and also in terms of what happened when we had other presidents visit Minnesota. So we're going to get to that in just a few minutes on the program. But actually, we'll hold off on just a second here for the break, Eric. I do want to remind you that we do have a presidential debate watching party coming up next Tuesday at Burger Mo's in downtown St. Paul. Order those tickets ahead of time. They're only $15 because if you end up procrastinating and deciding you don't want to buy those tickets until the day of and get those at the door, yeah, it's going to cost you a little bit more money, $20. So order those ahead of time now for only $15 as we are making our way towards the east side of town. So we're going to be Burger Mo's downtown St. Paul. very convenient location if you're someone who lives in St. Paul or on the east side of the metro area, and definitely looking forward to seeing you there. I'll be there along with Matt McNeil, a great chance to mingle with you and watch those debates, because this, I imagine, is probably the final debate before this field really, really narrows. There are a number of candidates who I don't think will be launching or even having a campaign anymore as we approach the November debates. Now, speaking of our AM 950 debate watching party, I do have a pair of free tickets to give away at 952-946-6205. However, there is a catch. Here's what I want you to do, Eric, because in order to win these tickets, you have to answer two trivia questions correctly regarding Donald Trump. One has to do with a rally that's taking place tonight, and another one is just a more general question about Trump. Now, I purposely made these questions pretty easy, so hopefully someone's able to get these. But, Eric, line up a couple of people on the phones for us, and we'll take them in order. The first person who gets both questions correctly will win those tickets. If you get it wrong, then we'll move on to the next person. So give us a call, 952-946-6205, and line yourself up to play trivia for your chance to win a couple of tickets to our debate-watching party coming up next Tuesday here on AM 950. We'll take a break and come on back with those trivia questions up next here on the program.
Litton's Party Value is your Halloween headquarters. All Halloween-specific items will be an extra 20% off our low warehouse prices. Litton's Party Value has its best costumes for toddlers, kids' favorite licensed costumes, and adult costumes. Litton's Party Value has a great selection of tableware, decorations, and props to put the haunt into your Halloween horror show. Shop Litton's Party Value's new location at 913 Plymouth Avenue North, Minneapolis. Free parking or shop Litton's online at partyvalue.com.
Located just north of 50th and France, the Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, they offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include hot and sour soup, pan-fried dumplings, and mushu pork with homemade Chinese pancakes. Stop by their Edina location or call for takeout at 952-927-4439. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
Imagine cyber criminals waiting outside your network, probing for weaknesses. What if you're next? Well, what if you had a team of experts to navigate you through these what-if waters? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rymark with a unique offer, a free network security assessment. We'll uncover the hidden threats to your business and provide you with a map to peace of mind. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RymarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment and stop drowning in what-ifs.
Marijuana legalization might not mean a lot to you professionally, but it may to your clients and employees, bankers and investors, property owners and landlords. Minnesota Lawyer has got your back with the CanCon Business Symposium on Wednesday, November 6th at the Depot, Minneapolis. Denver-based researcher the Marijuana Policy Group will present data on the economic impact legislation has had in Colorado and how that might translate to Minnesota. You'll hear from professionals in other states that legalized marijuana about what's at stake for you. Human resources professionals can learn about the effects on employees and how the hiring process could change. Attorneys will learn how to protect their clients. Commercial real estate brokers and agents will hear about investment opportunities from an expert panel. Speakers include Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, Speaker of the House Ryan Winkler, and Senators Melissa Franzen, Jeff Hayden, and Scott Jensen, as well as several Minnesota business leaders. Learn strategies that work at the CanCon Business Symposium on Wednesday, November 6th at the Depot, Minneapolis. Register now at canconmn.com.
This is Gregory Rich, founder of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style every Sunday at 5 p.m. You know, on the radio program, I often say that life is the big stuff, but living is in the details. The furniture in your home may be details, but that's where you do the living. So why not speak to one of Habitation's design professionals about making your space the best it can be? Habitation, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park.
And And we're back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee doing a little trivia for your chance to win tickets to our debate watching party taking place next Tuesday at Burger Mo's in St. Paul. We do have someone lined up as our first caller to take a stab at it. And if Matt, who is our first contestant, is wrong, well, then we just go ahead and move on to our next caller. So let's bring on Matt in St. Paul. Matt, hoping you have a good chance of winning, being that I imagine you're not very far from Burger Mo's, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm just sitting outside of my night class getting ready to go in.
Gotcha. Oh, man. All right. So in city across, Eric, excuse me, let's go to the first question. I can't even read my own handwriting here, Matt, as I was trying to jot these down before the show today. So as you know, in city after city across the nation, Trump has failed to pay local officials who provide thousands of dollars worth of security assistance to the president's campaign. So my question to you, Matt, is how many cities claim Trump has not paid them back for the costs of his campaign rallies? Is it 1, 5, 8, or 10?
I'm going to go with 10.
You are correct. All right. You got the first one correct. All right. You ready for the next one? This is more of a general question that doesn't have to do with the rally tonight. According to a book that was written last year, what food does Donald Trump eat every night before going to bed? Is it a hot dog, a cheeseburger, pizza, or kale?
Well, it's definitely not kale.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to say a cheeseburger.
You are correct. All right, Matt, congratulations. You are indeed our winner. Hey, hang on hold because Eric is going to get your information for our will call. And I do want to congratulate you for winning those tickets to our debate watching party coming up next Tuesday at Burger Mo's over in St. Paul. Again, hang on there, Matt. Eric is going to take your information, and we will see you next Tuesday over at Burger Mo. See, I told you those questions weren't going to be too tough, although I did have plenty more in reserve in case we needed them. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll get to a few more phone calls in just a moment, just because we're a one-man operation here on the other side of the glass, so Eric's got to take down Matt's information before we can get to some more callers. But I want to talk about this controversy that we've been seeing between the mayor's office and also the Donald Trump campaign in terms of, well, who is going to pay for these security costs? Mayor Fry has told the Trump campaign that, well, you owe us over $500,000 to provide security for your campaign rally tonight. So I did a little digging. Is the campaign actually required to pay for security costs? The answer is, in general, technically, no, according to the FEC. Although, as they note in this article, which is actually from the FEC, most campaigns actually do pay back states and cities for their campaign rally-related security expenses. Cities and local taxpayers, of course, are shelling out for security, police, fire, and emergency service agencies. And, of course, the police can also expect overtime costs. And in the past, most campaigns have actually covered those costs. They're not technically, again, required by the FCC. It's just generally been a practice up until, well, we had the Trump campaign of the past few years where they, the latest report now, owe over $800,000 to 10 different cities that have held rallies around the country over the past few years. So let's take a look at some history of presidential campaign rallies that have taken place in Minnesota over the past few years and in terms of the costs of holding these rallies. So taking a look back at when President George W. Bush visited the city of Chanhassen, he was billed $14,000 after a visit. Then if we take a look at a President Trump actually campaign rally going back to 2018 in Duluth, that cost the city $69,000. And which, by the way, still has not been paid back. His campaign also paid $112,000 for the use of the Mayo Civic Center for his Rochester rally later that year. And here's what I kind of find interesting, because you are actually required to pay for the use of buildings, not necessarily for security, but for use of the buildings, yeah, you are required to pay for that. And he did pay $112,000 to rent the Mayo Civic Center in Rochester. But he's only paid a portion of that money so far. The city is actually still on the hook for $93,000 for a rally that took place in Rochester, what was it, about a year ago. So, yikes, there you go. Still owing quite a bit of money on that, $93,000. We'll continue more with this in just a moment because there's a lot more I want to talk about in terms of these security costs and why they seem to have skyrocketed over the past few years. Because as I was talking about, relative to what Mayor Fry is billing the Trump campaign of over $500,000, previous rallies had not cost that much. So we're going to delve into why that is the case in just a couple of minutes here. But first, let's move on to some phone calls. Actually, we'll hold off on the phone calls as Eric's still busy over there on the phone. So now let's talk about why the cost is so high. So again, it's significantly higher compared to previous rallies that we've had here in Minnesota, whether it's been Trump visiting Duluth and Rochester in past years, or looking back at W when he visited Minnesota in 2004, or even when Obama was here back in 2009, the estimated cost was about $20,000 in terms of security. So why has the cost actually gone up so much? Well, I think part of it is the fact that we have a much more contentious time, and we also have, well, according to Mayor Fry's office, much stricter regulations that we have to put on to make sure everyone gets and stays very safe. Of course, we have a lot more people attending these rallies and also showing up as protesters. And there's also a key difference because often I hear a lot of Trump supporters cite, well, the Obama rally of 2009 only cost $20,000. Well, let's actually take a look and kind of break down the differences between what Trump is doing tonight and what Obama did back in 2009 when he also had a rally in Minneapolis. So the Trump rally tonight, and you guys can chime in on this as well, Eric and Kate in there, it's pretty much, you would absolutely agree, Eric, it's a campaign rally. It's nothing else except that. It's not really anything to promote a specific policy. It's a complete campaign rally.
If it is, I don't know what it's about.
Exactly, yeah.
But and he's been doing these kind of continuously since he was elected initially, too.
And if you look back to the Obama rally, which, again, costs significantly less in terms of security compared to the Trump rally taking place tonight, well, his was actually for a specific policy. He was trying to get the Affordable Care Act passed. So it was actually more of a policy rally than a re-election campaign type of rally. So a lot less contentious and partisan than the type of rally you're going to see tonight from Donald Trump when he visits Minneapolis. So
yeah, I can say is, like, the political atmosphere is definitely much more contentious.
Right. Even
heightened.
Exactly, even from just 10 years ago. And of course, there's lots of other differences as well. When you look at that 2009 Obama rally and the current Trump rally, the percentage of people that have guns, obviously that's going to be a lot higher from people who are attending a Trump rally. You also have the idea that, I kind of alluded to this as well, the whole thing's just going to be a complete circus. It's not going to be heavy on policy. It's just going to be rhetoric and rhetoric, and that's going to be firing people up. I mean, you also have to look at the rise of the number of mass shootings that we've had in the country even since 2009. Now, of course, we had plenty of mass shootings prior to 2009, but we've definitely seen a lot more over the past few years. And as we're just saying, the rhetoric is so much higher than it was from 2009. You can also look at the dispute we have between Donald Trump and Ilhan Omar. You can bet that that language is going to be incited again tonight. So I think that's a large reason why we're seeing much higher security costs compared to what we had in 2004 and 2009 when W and Obama visited Minnesota. Just a lot more contentious and a lot more security concerns that we have to address with the president's visit taking place tonight. All right, we have a couple of phone calls from some people hanging on the line. Let's go ahead and run the phones and go to Randy in Coon Rapids. So, Randy, you were kind of talking about what we were just chatting about a moment ago in terms of Obama's rally over only costing $20,000. Why don't you go ahead and make your point?
Well, yeah, I wanted to do that. And then before I hang up, I wanted to talk to you about what I think is the quote of the year. I mean, Nobel Peace Prize quote. I'm just loving it. But as far as the Trump thing, that what a huge scam that is, going from 20 grand. It doesn't matter how much more security does 20 grand get versus $540,000? I think that's kind of a Democratic Mayor Fry not liking the president, telling him he's not welcome here, and if you are going to come here, we're going to charge you as much as we possibly think we can charge you, and then get mad because you don't want to pay the bill type of thing is what it sounds like.
Well, did you see what they're actually basing their money on? They're actually basing it on the types of expense that they paid when they hosted the Final Four and hosted the Super Bowl. And I think you would agree, when you have the President of the United States visit your town, you probably want that same level of security that you have for a major event like the Final Four or the Super Bowl. I mean,
well,
go ahead.
Those were multiple days. Those were multiple day events.
Well, the Super Bowl is only one day.
Well, the Super Bowl is one day, but people were coming into town well before the Super Bowl. They're getting all the activities and stuff going on. For a Trump coming in for a few hours, that just doesn't seem like that would be. And then trying to throw the cost onto the Target Center, saying you're going to be responsible for it. I mean, you can see where it just kind of gets, you know, I think a little bit sticky. I'm very excited the fact that our president is coming here tonight to speak. And you, I heard you earlier, you're saying, you know, more rhetoric and more contentious because Trump. Well, let me tell you, when Obama was here and he was talking Obamacare on our side, there was a lot of contention. There was a lot of people that were not wanting Obamacare.
Let's break that down a little bit. So your contentious, what was your contention to Obamacare back in 2009? Because I want to break down the difference between your contention about Obamacare compared to what people are not happy about with this rally tonight. So let's go back in time a little bit to 2009. What would have made you want to go out and protest Obama and the Affordable Care Act in 2009?
Well, one, everybody, I think pretty much I could speak on the conservative side, thought Obamacare was the worst mistake possibly you could make. Nobody was for it, and it was Al Franken who was the last vote. Otherwise, Obamacare would not even have gotten passed. So you can see where that didn't really pass on flying colors and everybody all happy about it. Everybody on our side, we didn't want Obamacare whatsoever. Trump rally, I think you're going to probably see if the who knows if the media is going to be fair about it or not, but I think you're going to see an overwhelming support for Donald Trump, because it's kind of interesting to sit and watch the news, how they say, oh yeah, there's not many people liking him. I think that's where you guys are going to be really, you were shocked when President Trump won against Hillary. I think you guys are going to be in five times more shock when you go, I can't believe that many people are supporting Trump. I really think you guys are going to be surprised when it comes to that. But before you guys run out of time, Ellen DeGeneres, the best quote I've heard all year long. I thought that was incredible that she was in the booth with President Bush, got all kinds of slack, and she came out and she said what I think every single American should take that to heart. That just because, well, like you guys, I don't hate you guys, and I could sit and go out to dinner with you guys. We shouldn't be mad at each other because we have political differences. We should, that's fine. You guys believe what you believe. I believe what I believe. Well, then let's go out and have dinner, and we can still have some fun. And that's what Ellen was getting across, that she still has friends just because.
All right, Randy, we're going to have to leave it there because we are running a little bit late on the segment. I know, Eric, it sounds like you kind of wanted to chime in a little bit about what Randy was saying. But, okay, so actually his Ellen quote kind of sums up the point I was going to make originally in terms of these differences between the Obama rally and the Trump rally of today. So the Obama rally, essentially what he was protesting was a policy in terms of health care that may or may not raise your premiums. It turns out in most cases your premiums actually went down, but in some cases people did see an increase in premiums. That was it. That's a policy discussion. That's not something that actually affects whether someone is allowed to exist or not. That is a key difference because if you look at the policies of the Trump administration, they're denying the existence, for instance, of LGBTQ people. Or if you're looking at the fact that we are seeing children being jailed on the border, that's not just a little policy discussion about whether my health care premiums are going to go up or not. That's a huge difference. And that's why even addressing what Ellen DeGeneres was saying yesterday about how she can be friends with George W. Bush. I mean, Eric, I don't know about you, but I would have trouble being friends with someone who is actually denying the existence of another group of people or who committed war crimes. That's a big difference than disagreeing with someone because you don't agree with their health care policy.
Sure. I mean, the way I see it, especially with Ellen, you can disagree with someone politically on certain issues,
right,
back and forth, but I don't understand how you can actively be friends with someone who's responsible for 1 million deaths.
Exactly.
It goes beyond just an opinion, and when you're actively participating and actively encouraging this behavior, it's something else.
Yeah, and that's the difference from people who didn't like Obama at his rally in 2009. Yeah, they're going after a policy for very silly reasons. We're actually protesting someone because they're affecting the actual lives of people, whether they should be allowed to exist or not. Or as you're talking about with the Bush administration, thousands, if several thousands of people being killed over his policies in the Middle East and with his anti-terror policies that definitely affected many, many lives more than just an actual policy decision in terms of whether you agree we should have a public option or not. That's an entirely different discussion.
Sure. If you want to argue about immigration, maybe we need some
or
sort
taxes,
of immigration
anything
reform,
like that. Yeah.
Something like that. That's different than actively encouraging us throwing children into prison.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I could always have a policy discussion with Randy or anyone else, whether you think taxes should be higher or should be lower, or whether we should have a public option for health care, or any other type of basic policy question like that. That's entirely different than questioning someone's existence or questioning whether you're actually killing someone from your foreign policy positions. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Hey, Eric, let's run one more phone call. I know we're going to run a little late here into the break, but David from New Hope has been holding forever. Let's go ahead and bring him in. Hey there, David. What's on your mind today?
Thank you very much for taking the call. I'll try to make it quick. The tip of the iceberg is that Donald Trump doesn't pay his bills. The next tip of the iceberg is I'm a Minneapolis taxpayer. I'm violently opposed to Donald Trump, and the idea of my tax dollars paying for his rally is absolutely obnoxious. Mm-hmm. And now we have the Minneapolis Police Department supporting Donald Trump. I think a nice answer to the question is I think every one of those Minneapolis policemen who are in favor of Donald Trump should work for nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting point. Yeah, go ahead, David.
Okay, a little further. To your last caller, Donald Trump is throwing the whole country under the bus. What he did in Syria, there's going to be a massacre. So we now have a president who is condoning genocide. That's not a political position anymore.
Right.
That is so incredibly obnoxious that I've decided to talk to anybody who is in favor of Donald Trump because they are condoning – it doesn't get much worse than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a big difference between – yeah, and David, thanks so much for the call as we're kind of talking about here. A difference between disagreeing with a specific – political policy versus disagreeing with something that's a little bit heavier. I'm not quite sure what the exact term is, but it's definitely different from just disagreeing on whether you think the tax rate should be 35% versus 30%. It's a lot heavier than that, and I think that's something you need to pick up if you're watching some of the people who are protesting tonight. It's not that they're out there protesting and saying that, well, I'm not very happy of the way that Donald Trump has run the infrastructure in the entire country. No, it's much deeper than that. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll continue with your phone calls, but first, the news from Public News Service.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process from the studios of KHOI in the heart of Iowa.
I think it's important that the candidates make it clear that they view the issues impacting LGBTQ people as seriously and as important as every other issue facing this country. You know, so that's everything from workplace protections to banning conversion therapy to really leading on addressing the epidemic of hate and violence against transgender people, particularly transgender women of color.
That was Seek Stokes, Chief Programs Officer of DC-based GLAAD. Tonight, CNN is hosting a five-hour-long event where nine Democratic presidential candidates will speak to LGBTQ issues, just days after the Supreme Court heard arguments in three cases about whether federal law protects the LGBTQ community from workplace discrimination.
The bottom line is that we shouldn't have to be coming to the Supreme Court every couple of years to debate our dignity.
More on that in a minute. Turkish forces launched airstrikes in northeastern Syria yesterday, prompting bipartisan opposition to President Donald Trump's decision to pull troops out of the area, from 2020 Democratic hopefuls as well as congressional Republicans. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham said that the Trump administration has, quote, shamelessly abandoned, unquote, Kurdish allies. And former Vice President Joe Biden made his strongest attack on the president yet, for the first time calling for Trump to be impeached at a town hall in New Hampshire.
This is not hyperbole. It's a fact. No president in American history has ever dared to engage in such unimaginable behavior. With his words and his actions, President Trump has indicted himself by obstructing justice, refusing to comply with the congressional inquiry. He's already convicted himself. In full view of the world and the American people, Donald Trump has violated his oath of office, betrayed this nation, and committed impeachable acts.
Back to the Supreme Court, these three cases will be the first regarding the LGBTQ community since Justice Anthony Kennedy retired. Kennedy was the swing vote on marriage equality in 2015. During arguments this week, Trump appointed Justice Neil Gorsuch aligned with conservatives when he questioned whether the court should take into account potential, quote, massive social upheaval, unquote, if they were to rule in favor of LGBTQ employees. But he was also the only conservative to argue that the language of the law made the case, quote, very close, unquote. Here's Stokes again.
The train of progress toward full equality and acceptance can be put in reverse if the wrong people are elected, particularly to the presidency with the power to appoint justices to this court. Not only are we ready to fight this out at the Supreme Court, but we're ready to fight it out at the ballot box in 2020.
From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bolke. Thanks for listening at pacificanetwork.org and publicnewsservice.org.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Your AM 950 weather. This is Eric Nelson. Tonight, showers and possibly a thunderstorm before 2 a.m. with a low around 38. Friday, cloudy with a high of 42 and a low of 32. Saturday, snow showers are likely before noon with less than half an inch of snow accumulation expected. Temperatures in the 30s.
EatLocalMinnesota.com's restaurant of the week is The Great Wall. The Great Wall Restaurant has been providing a delicious mix of both Szechuan and Peking dishes since 1981. Check out their location just north of 50th and France in Edina.
And we're back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Brett, Eric, and Kate on the program, along with you. Glad to have you with us here on your, Trump Day? Day? Thursday? I can't think of a better way to put that. Or a worse way to put it. Yeah, either way. Yeah, we unfortunately do have the big orange guy making his way into the town. Before we continue with your phone calls, I got to bring up a hilarious dispute I've been seeing go on Twitter between the chair of the Minnesota Republican Party, Jennifer Carnahan, as well as some of the corporate media members here in town, including the Star Tribune and WCCO. And if you're not familiar, Star Tribune and WCCO, not exactly the most liberal outfits, despite what some conservatives will tell you. They are definitely kind of towing the more corporate type of news. They definitely are not the liberal news. So, all right, what's this dispute between that we've been seeing on Twitter between some members of the corporate media and Jennifer Carnahan, again, the chair of the Republican Party? Well, here's what Carnahan tweeted earlier this morning. Mayor Jacob Fry stifles free speech and the press again. The city of Minneapolis has banned TV cameras and media from interviewing rallygoers waiting in the skyways for the rally. Now, of course, she was immediately refuted by a number of media outlets and journalists in town, including Blois Olson, who said, this isn't true. There is not a ban on anyone. And he says you can follow along some of his reporters that have been talking to Trump supporters and rally goers. There were some other people from the Star Tribune saying, hey, we've had no problem videoing people at all. So there's problem number one. She's immediately been called out. Now, she followed this up and said, not true. Talk to some journalists at Fox 9 and KSTP, where basically, to sum it up, I won't go into the entire tweet. It just kind of sounds like, talk to my friend of a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. But there's one other issue we need to talk about right here. Even, let's say, if TV cameras were banned in the Skyway. Not sure if you're aware of this, but the Skyways are not actually owned by the city of Minneapolis. Those are owned by private buildings. So if there was at any time any ban on TV cameras or microphones in terms of interviewing people in the Skyways, that's not the city of Minneapolis that would be doing that. That would be the private buildings because, again, I even looked this up on the city of Minneapolis website. They explicitly say they do not own the Skyways. Those are privately owned. So even if that were true, it wouldn't be evil Mayor Jacob Fry restricting free speech in the Skyway areas of Minneapolis. Hey, let's move on back to the phone lines and go to our buddy Mark in Fridley. Hey there, Mark. What's on your mind today?
Oh, just a lot.
I'm sure, yes. Yeah, there's a lot going on, and it looks like you want to kind of talk about what's been happening in Syria as well, correct?
Well, sure. I mean, we lost in all of this.
Oh, did I just lose you there, Mark?
For a second. I'm back.
Oh, there you go.
Lost in all of this is the fact that we've been fighting an illegal wars for 18 years and have absolutely nothing to show with it. 43 should be treated as a war criminal and a pariah, not because he's a Republican, not because he's a conservative, because he caused the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people and has not yet been held to account. Donald Trump just mocked and ridiculed the Kurds, who, again, as a country, we've worked on their annihilation through four different administrations, including providing Saddam Hussein with chemical weapons to attack the Kurds, via the CIA. So he said that, well, the Kurds didn't show up for World War II. I would like to ask Donald Trump, where were you in Vietnam? Oh, that's right.
Exactly.
You got a medical deferment from the doctor who was a tenant in one of your father's houses, so you didn't have to go to war by yourself. Now, as far as Randy from Coon Rapids saying that, this psyop with Ellen DeGeneres, and if anybody thinks that wasn't done intentionally on purpose, you got to pull your head out of your rectum. But I want to talk about the comments Colin Powell made. And again, this is the stuff that people need to pay attention to, because Colin Powell, who was one of the primary cheerleaders, war criminals that got us into these wars because of his admonition to Congress that he was certain that irrefutable evidence existed of WMDs in Iraq. This is what he said over the weekend. He said that government officials are holding back because they're terrified of what will happen to any of them if one of them speaks out. So if you're afraid to speak out, if you're afraid to tell the truth, lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Then the other things he said, when you see things that aren't right, you need to say something about it because our foreign policy is in shambles right now. This is one of the cabal that got us into 18 years, hundreds of thousands of millions of deaths, trillions of dollars of additional expense, and this is a guy lecturing us who is so compromised because of his prior position and the media that support and hold this guy up as an American hero. He said, in my time, one of us would have gone to the president and said, Mr. President, you screwed up, so we've got to fix it. We've got to put out a correction. We're getting lectured from Condoleezza Rice, from George Bush, enjoying time at a football game. And, our country is insane. I heard Randy say, our side, your side. We're one side, and we have to get it together because we're run by a group of psychopaths. And the only way to stop this is for people to start paying attention, for people to agree on issues as opposed to being fighting amongst ourselves while these psychopaths are taking over and ruining our country.
All right. Thanks so much for the call there, Mark. And yeah, you definitely set it up when you're talking about your side and my side, because as Mark was kind of saying, there are psychopaths, especially when it comes to foreign policy and some other issues that exist both in the Democratic and also in the Republican Party. And one other point he made, that is extremely rich coming from Colin Powell saying, oh, you need to blow the whistle when you see something wrong. Coming from Colin Powell, of all people, when Mark said lead, follower, get the hell out of the way, maybe Colin Powell should have just gotten the hell out of the way, because there's no way he could have actually believed the intelligence that was being fed to him. That was a complete sellout move from him. I actually don't think he believed a word of that intelligence that he was given, and then that speech he made to the UN. I don't know if he actually believed a word he said. I think he was just doing it because, well, I got to toe the administration line. And now, of course, he's grown a conscience. It's kind of like we have a short-term memory problem here in this country where –
well, you know, George Bush gave a Werther's Original to Michelle Obama, so he's reformed.
Once you've been out of office for like 8 years, yeah, we kind of forget all the misdeeds you've done, because that certainly happened where people are having fond memories of the Bush administration. That's why I'm happy with the slogan you occasionally use on Mission Accomplishers, prosecute the Bush administration for war crimes.
And I mean, how many times have you seen that meme, like, miss me yet, of George Bush?
No, I don't.
No, we don't.
No, I don't. He's not that much different from Donald Trump. I would say one of the major differences
– I say he's more competent.
Exactly. He's more competent. In some ways, I would actually rather have Trump than Bush, because Trump is incompetent.
Trump's body count is still lower.
It's much lower, and he doesn't have the ability to pass some of the awful policies that Bush did, because Bush, give him credit in this sense, not credit in a good way, but credit in terms of just political skill. He could get, when Denny Hastert was the Speaker of the House, he could get him to pass just about anything. Same with the Senate as well. A lot more political skill. And then, of course, let's just talk about the body count at all, because that was certainly an issue as well. Yeah, not quite the body count that the Bush administration had. But unfortunately, if he gets four more years, does Donald Trump – ooh, he might give him a run for his money.
We'll see how this curve thing plays out, because
yeah,
he might be in contention soon.
Yeah, exactly. 952-946-6205. We're going to take one more break. Ishmael, hey, hang on the phone lines. We're going to get to your phone call as soon as we take our final break here on the program. You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Brett, Eric, and Kate on today's program.
At Better Futures Minnesota, we transform the lives of men and support Minnesota's environment by working towards zero waste. Our approach reaffirms each man's dignity and supports self-sufficiency. Better Futures Minnesota is a work training model. Through our reuse, retail warehouse, and supervised work crews with specialized in residential and commercial building deconstruction, property maintenance, appliance recycling, and janitorial services, we demonstrate ways to employ hard-to-employ men on a pathway to independence. Hire our work crews at betterfuturesminnesota.com.
Tom Hartman here telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. And they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Couple of quick notes to pass along before we head back to the phone lines again. I want to see you at Burger Moe's next Tuesday for our debate watching party, and you can get those tickets ahead of time for that discounted rate of only $15. AM950radio.com, AM950radio.com. Otherwise, you're going to be paying $20 at the door. So save yourself a little money. Order those tickets ahead of time. They have absolutely delicious food over at Burger Moe's. I've had that a few times after some events that I've been at the XL Energy Center. Also, tomorrow, working on an interview with someone from Outfront, Minnesota, because they're making a new push for different municipalities around the state to actually ban gay conversion therapy. Of course, we saw that as a debate during the state legislative session in terms of making a state statute banning conversion therapy. But Outfront, Minnesota has kind of taken a different approach where they're trying to get different municipalities to pass bans on conversion therapy. So we'll have That interview coming up on tomorrow's program. But let's go back to the phone lines and go to Ishmael in Eagan. Hey there, Ishmael. What's on your mind today?
Hey, guys. Nice to see you guys talking about, you know, Trump coming to Minnesota today, you know. You know, the whole thing about Minnesota, not only to spread hate about Minnesota, but the only thing is probably going to talk most about it is the Somalis that lives in Minnesota and Ilhan Omar. And he's going to generalize it everything, which, you know, I always know that because he just want to incite fights and, I mean, violence and fight about, you know, people of color, about, you know, that cities they don't live outside of the city. And the other thing that is, you know, when he always go low about those people. He always go about people of color and people of, I mean, Somalis and all that stuff. And Minneapolis. The other thing is that I was thinking about to ask this, like, what,
hey, Ishmael, unfortunately, I think I got to let you go here. Your phone is kind of cutting in and out there. I was hoping the connection might get a little bit better, but unfortunately, yeah, it was kind of cutting out so much where I was having trouble picking up what you were saying. But some good points bringing up there that, of course, Ishmael is also being someone who is of the Islamic faith, talking about how we're going to see a lot of anti-Muslim rhetoric at the rally tonight. Yeah, very true, especially with what's happening with Ilhan Omar. You know that topic is going to be brought up, and
I mean, she's been pretty much Trump's number one target.
Exactly, yeah.
At least a contender for it for a while.
And I'm interested to see, because I think he's going to try to get people to not say send her back, because I think he gets the optics, especially with a number of Republicans in leadership positions in both of the House and the Senate.
I think he might have been instructed to do that, but who knows? If Trump goes off script, he won't be able to stop himself.
Exactly. If he gets caught up in the moment, I think that's a good.
He reads the crowd, because there's a lot of anti-Somali sentiment in Minnesota, and if he senses that, oh, this stirs the crowd up, I think he'll go dive deep into that.
I unfortunately think there's at least a 4 in 5 chance we're going to hear a send her back chant, and I think you actually kind of hit the nail on the head there, Eric, where, yeah, he was without a doubt instructed by probably people on his campaign, getting pressure from other politicians saying, whatever you do, do not do the send her back chant. And if you hear it, try to qualm it. But as you said, he's going to get caught up in the moment.
Yeah, I can almost guarantee someone will yell it out during the speech.
Yeah, and people are going to join in as well. It is an ugly world out there, especially if you look at social media with right-wingers. The amount of hate, and I mean absolute hate, they have for Ilhan Omar is just off the charts. So, yeah, unfortunately, I think there is at least a 4 in 5 chance we are unfortunately going to hear that chant tonight. And, of course, it's going to make terrible optics for Trump and also the Republican Party as a whole. All right, one more story to pass along. This is a little bit on the lighter side. So the saloon, of course, had some anti-Trump material, including, I believe, the Trump baby that was above there. Someone on Twitter said, well, I'm no longer going to frequent your place, without actually knowing it's an LGBTQ establishment. So I don't think they were even going there in the first place at all. All right, that's all the time we have for today on the program. You hear the music, you know what that means. We're out of time. We'll talk to you tomorrow.